Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.
Marie Crowe is sitting in front of me. How's it going?
It is good. I was able to relate to your irresponsible parenting.
I know you were. I know you were because you were telling me off air. And you need to tell the listener, what did you do?
Okay, there's one thing being an irresponsible parent and knowing it yourself, but it's when everybody else realises how irresponsible you are that gets a little bit tricky. So my son loves Liverpool and he went to the Liverpool-Real Madrid match last night. So we're taken out of school, said nothing. Because, I mean, usually if you're taking your kid out of school to go on holidays, you might say, oh, they, you know, it's something really important on. And then I was watching the match last night and he was on the telly. So I couldn't even pretend that he was sick. And everybody saw him.
Everybody
and it went all over.
And you were getting messages saying, is that your son on
the
telly at the
Liverpool
match?
Getting messages on Twitter, people pausing it, playing it back.
Now,
up the
did
videos.
You have to retract the sick note or was it gone already?
FYI, he got sick. He recovered and we sent him to Madrid.
Did he have a great time?
Well, they lost.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But did he have a great time?
He had a good time.
And it's important to see your team lose, I think.
Yeah, it is because that builds character. Some people say, I mean, I've never felt it myself because losing is horrendous. But apparently in the long run anyway, you learn a lot from losing. You learn learnings.
Learnings. Well, when I started dating Lau, AC Milan were doing terrible. And they're not doing too bad at the moment. And my life just seems, our relationship is better. The home life is better. I don't know what it is. And that's, we want to talk about it. I mean, it's a massive week for Ireland. What with Patrick's Day, the Cheltenham Festival and looking ahead to Saturday and the potential for the Irish rugby team to get a grand slam in the Six Nations Championships in Dublin. And what a run the lads in green have been on in the competition. So we're talking about sporting teams and winning streaks in general. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about some of the most famous winning streaks in sport. Can you give us some insight into the Irish rugby team and what they've actually accomplished so far this season?
Jen, you're so right. If all of the sporting results go well in Cheltenham, the favourites win, the people who've backed the horses will be happy. If Ireland win on Saturday, the whole country's going to be really happy. So you're so right. When people are winning, then it lifts the nation. So the Ireland team have lifted the nation for the last few months because they've been on a little streak of their own. They've been doing really, really well. So they're number one in the world. Jen, imagine being number one in the world. Wouldn't that be amazing? You're the best in the world. Yeah. So they have that title. Last year, they beat New Zealand for the first time on away soil. And then they went and won a series against New Zealand for the first time. They've been unbeaten now in a year. They lost to France in February 2022 and they have a 13-game unbeaten streak at home. So this weekend, they're aiming to make history to become the first Irish side to win a Grand Slam on home soil. And all they have to do is beat England.
Absolutely easy peasy.
At the moment it is. It's not too bad because England got absolutely hammered by France last weekend. Like really bad. Some of their former players have come out and said that there's no world-class players on this England team. They've got a new manager. Things don't seem to be going so well for him. He's only in the job.
Great.
So all the signs are pointing towards an Ireland win. But still, it is England coming to Ireland. They're a wounded lion. They're going to want to spoil the party.
Exactly. You said it there. They're wounded. Let's talk about their mindset. They lost. They just lost. They're on a bit of a trajectory. We're on a winning streak. We're confident. That must stand for something and play a huge part.
Yeah, there's something there, mentality. Jen, in that. The mentality and the momentum. So when you're winning and you have that bit of momentum, it brings confidence. But all of these professional teams now leave no stone unturned when it comes to preparation. So they have like the top sports psychologists working with them. So they will have tools, Jen, to put in place to help them cope with all the pressure that's on them. But one thing that they always say, and Johnny Sexton said it this week as well, that we're just going to stick to the process. So that's what these, especially the rugby teams, they just seem to look at it as another game. So this is another game. We're going to do what we always do. We're going to stick to our processes. And if we stick to our processes, then the results will come.
Okay. Do they have sports psychologists, the Irish team?
Yeah, they do. They're working with this guy and he did a big interview at the weekend called Gary Keegan. So he works on their mindset, on dealing with pressure, and everybody deals, like the good thing about it is that there's so many individuals who deal with things in different ways and he's able to work with all of them and design ways for them to cope in these situations. And some of them don't want psychologists at all and they want to just go out and play and they can do that. Others will be getting sick in buckets before a game. So they all have different little cliques and ways of dealing with these high-pressured situations. But hopefully now on Saturday it'll all come together.
Johnny Sexton, what's going on with him? Is he looking to beat some kind of a record?
Yeah, so Johnny Sexton, you think now he'd be under a little bit of pressure. So at the moment, he's on 557 points in his Six Nations career, and this ties him with Ronan O'Gara. So he's going to be looking to break this points record, the scoring record. He equaled it last time out, so he's on the same amount of points. So this is kind of this is coming on top of him as well. But he you know, he says he's not thinking about it. He's going to break it because he's going to score. He's going to, like, you know, he'll kick something.
He'll kick something.
But it is another little bit of added pressure, another moment, another story, another part of the game that people are talking about. And it's going to be his last ever Six Nations game as well, because he is heading for retirement. He's 37, Jen. He's so old.
Aww.
Yeah, he's so old. So he's heading for retirement. So imagine... very few people get fairy tales. It's such a rare thing that if you're finishing your sports career that you get to go out on a high, that you get to go out and win something amazing, to do something really special with all your friends and family there. If it happens for him, which I think it will, he's going to do something amazing. He's going to come out with a scoring record. He's going to have beaten England on home ground to win the Grand Slam. All his family is going to be there, and it'll just be one of those occasions that... we so rarely see, so it's going to be really special for him. And
I really worry for him of the aftermath of that, the come down of that. Then you're retired.
I
like,
know.
Please mind him.
Yeah, there's a huge amount of people that struggle with retirement, because I think especially for like rugby and soccer, professional sports, GAA is a little bit different because everybody has jobs, so they do have another little bit of an identity. But when that is all your own, the only thing that you're known for, your identity, every time you got up in the morning was to go and play a game, and then all of a sudden it's gone.
Like, and
it
then to finish like that, if that is going to happen on Saturday.
Now he will be going on. Because we do have a Rugby World Cup to come, Jen.
Okay, so
we have a huge Rugby World Cup to come.
Yeah,
but this is a big one.
A huge moment.
We don't know when he's going to have a moment like this at home in the Aviva Stadium again, or if he ever will.
Okay. Jeez, I might even watch the match.
I do.
Let's talk about Ruby Walsh's streak.
Yeah, so Ruby, look, anyone who knows Ruby, he's amazing. He is the most successful Irish jockey of all time, and he has a record from Cheltenham. So he has rode 59 winners. He has won the top jockey prize on 11 occasions. He's the most successful rider in the history of the Cheltenham Festival, and he's over there this week now working for us, and we're chatting to him every day. But it's quite an interesting one, because I actually asked him about records recently, and I was saying to him, like, you know, you've got all these records, and do you worry about people beating you? Like, you know, I mean, records, they very rarely last forever anyway. And he was like, no, I don't care about records, you know, like, they are what they are, they're just records. But then he was able to tell me, like, the five jockeys that were closest to him and how many rides away they were. So I was like, really now, Ruby? I'm not really buying that you don't care. He did know how many, he did know who's the next closest to him and how far away they were. And he was calculating how old they were, how many rides they could possibly get. So I think he revealed a lot in that answer. Yeah,
he certainly did. Moving to English football, can you tell us about Liverpool and the Premier League in 2019?
Yeah, so look, Liverpool were absolutely amazing for a very long time, and they, they were terrible for a very long time. They were only amazing for the last few years. They were terrible for 30 years. They didn't win any Premier Leagues, but they had a huge amount of fans. So they had this huge fan base, and they weren't delivering at all. But the fans really, they were always supporting them. They almost had record fans, basically, because they got so much support. But Jurgen Klopp basically took over, and you'll know who Jurgen Klopp is. Big smile, loves hugs, really good manager. He took over, they got new owners, and then things really started to take off for them. And in 2019, they were just absolutely amazing. So you're talking about football fans or sports fans being miserable and then changing their tune when their team started winning. I was a wife to one of those people. I am a wife to one of those people. So during that time, he was delighted with himself, because Liverpool
that
were...
That was a great year for you.
Yeah, it was a great year. So they equaled the league record, record of 18 wins in a row. They won the league, obviously, with 7 games to spare. They smashed the record for home victories with the 24 as well. And, you know, fans thought they would never see the day, but look, things are great. I mean, they lost in Madrid last night, but they... they've been good. They've given the fans a brilliant time, like obviously winning Champions Leagues and getting to finals and just been great.
Let's talk golf. Byron Nelson, who's this guy?
Yeah, and like not too many people are going to have heard of Byron Nelson, because I think we're all so used to hearing about Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy and Phil Mickelson and all of this. So when you think of records, you think that it's the people like Tiger and Rory that have them, but it's actually this guy, Byron Nelson. So he was playing years ago, way before Tiger Woods was, and he has a record of 11 straight PGA Tour wins, and he set this back in 1945. I didn't even know golf was played back in 1945, but it was. Tiger Woods came close to, well, he tried anyway to equal or beat this record, but he only got 6 wins in the 99-2000 season, so it's a really hard one to beat. And it's really hard now, Jen, as well, because there's so many more golfers and the standard has improved. So for anyone to consistently go out and win a tournament would be really difficult, because there's so many people now knocking on the door and like there's only inches between them. You know, there's a lot of really good, high quality golfers, and they tend to change, and different courses now suit different players. So I can't see that record being broken at all.
Would you say a sports psychologist is as important, especially if they're on a losing streak, than management or a trainer? I mean, it seems to be a huge part of it, because they've so much more to contend with now.
Oh, there's a huge part of it, and it's something as well, Jen, that's been talked about a huge amount more. So like years ago, when professional sport wasn't as much focus in the backroom teams, it was almost taboo to talk about the mental side of the game. It was, you know, you were kind of lauding the people that were able to perform under pressure, but never really understanding how they were able to do it, and you know, you'd call them like the ultimate competitor and all this. But I think the reality is now that the mindset coach, the mental coach, the performance coach, there's so many different tags on these people. They're in every team, they're with every sports person. Without them, now there's certain people that, like Ruby, who we mentioned, Ruby just, he is this rare breed of person that didn't need the sports psychologist. He was driven enough, he could deal with the pressure himself. He never needed to work on that side of his game. It was already there. And there are people like that who can just go out and play the game as it is. And then there are other people who need tools to be able to focus on what they have to do, because they're thinking about the next play, they're thinking about what's happening in the crowd,
the previous play,
what people are thinking of them. Whereas now there's so many professionals in the field, they're able to work with performance anxiety, I guess, as a way. And look, I mean, you could talk about it in our media game. It's the same sort of thing. You do need people to give you the tools, to give you the guidance, and just to help you cope with high pressured situations that you're just not used to.
Do you think his family background, like, it helped that his family were in the same industry?
I think so, because it was just a completely natural way of life for them to be like that. Now, I think his personality has a lot to do with it as well, and the type of just the type of character that he is, and the mindset that he always seems to have. Like, some people are really good at dealing with adversity. They're really determined. You'll see it in your own kids. You know, you can look at the kids that you have, and you can see the different traits that they have, and sometimes they have things in them, other times they need help with working on things, but everybody's able to work on things, you know. And like, that's the thing now, and we hear so many sports people coming out talking about how they, once they worked on the mindset part of their game, that everything else was able to elevate to a whole new level, because they were spending so much energy and they were so drained worrying about the performance side of things that they weren't able to follow through on it then, because that energy was gone from thinking about what they should have been doing or could have been doing.
I have a lot of respect for people like Ruby, but I also have a huge amount of respect for a team like Liverpool. You know, 30 years of being on a losing streak. And let's just talk about that for a second, because we know about the winning streaks, but there can be losing streaks as well. you have one in basketball you want to talk about. What's that one?
Yeah, so look, there's certain pressurized moments in sport, and like trying to put a ball in golf when the whole world is watching you to go out and win a major is one of them. But free throws in basketball is another one, and it's really difficult to nail it, because everybody, and it's like, it'll be like Johnny Sexton when he's trying to convert, to do a conversion at the weekend.
Yeah.
You've got silence all around you. You've got people looking at you. There's expectation. It could be the winning and losing of a game. So in America, there's a record for missing free throws. And Chris Dudley was a player there, and he's retired now. But in one game, he missed 17 out of 18 free throws. So that was in just one game of basketball.
Oh,
he was not able to do it. He kept getting fouled. So in basketball, you get fouled, you get the free throw. And he just got the yips. That's what they call it, the yips, when you just couldn't do it.
Oh, God, yeah. Even, oh.
Yeah, Padraig Harrington has spoken about it. He had to really work on his mindset because he got the yips and he wasn't able to put the ball. So
it just happened. It's all in the head.
It's all in the head.
So crazy. Yeah. And what about Premier League in England? You have a note here. What was going on there?
Nobody likes having these records, Jen. So Sunderland have the record. They went through the longest losing streak in the league's history. 15 consecutive losses and not draws for 15 straight matches. So they were, look, I mean, you're ultimately a loser then if you keep losing your matches, Jen.
Yes. Oh, it's so sad.
It's a tough industry.
It's
like
a horrible,
sport. Yeah.
It's horrible.
It's
horrible.
Really tricky.
Not able,
yeah.
Not
and
able.
I mean, that's why they pay them so much money, because it is a really difficult thing to be able to perform at that level consistently week after week. And there's so many highs and lows to it. And there's so much preparation that comes into it. Like, I admire anybody that makes it as a professional or elite sports person, because it just takes a certain breed. I'd be the one that would be breaking the tennis racket, breaking the golf club, you know, just absolutely going crazy if things weren't go my way.
Oh my God, the yips. The yips. They sound terrifying. I'm so delighted. This is an awful thing to say, that Liverpool lost.
They lost last night.
It's good for them to see that now.
Yeah, I know.
The next match will be very important. He has to see that.
He's one of those kids that was born at a time when Liverpool were winning all the time. So he didn't know the pain.
He's like,
and
what?
The hurt.
What is this?
Why are we losing? Yeah.
Was he very hurt by it?
He gets upset. Yeah. Like, oh, my other son supports PSG and they lost last week. And, you know, there was tears. And like, it's just amazing to think that the result of a game can affect people by
it's good for them. Yeah. It's good for them, Marie.
We'll see. We'll come back to you in 15 years and I'll tell you what they're like then.
Well, listen, thanks so much for that. That was our very own Marie Crowe, who presents Game On weekdays at 6 p.m. on 2FM.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.